Well, welcome. We're glad you're here. Today, we are going to finish up our series, Love Songs and Heartbreak. By the way, I want to thank Savannah and Bane. Isn't it cool to have a husband and wife lead a love song together for our series? That's so cool. They did a great job. Awesome. So today, we're going to talk about conflict, particularly conflict that leads to fighting. So let me ask right out of the gate, how many of you got in a fight this morning? One honest person in the room. All right. Well, this is going to be tremendously helpful for you. And for everybody else that apparently has no conflict in their life. No, I'm just kidding. This is going to be great. Now, here's the thing with conflict, though. Conflict, fighting. By the way, not all conflict leads to fighting. So we're focusing in when that conflict builds up to some tension, leads to a fight. That's what we're talking about, fighting in marriage. Now, conflict, though, just in general, is a universal challenge. Right? It's a universal challenge. We all deal with conflict in our lives, in our relationships with people. There's tension. And it's mainly because we are imperfect people in a really broken world with a lot of selfishness and a lot of pride and a lot of anger and a lot of stress and a lot of all the things that build into these moments. So none of us are really avoidant of conflict, but particularly in marriage, it's so important that we recognize that conflict and fighting are not always a bad thing. It's very normal, but how we do it is tremendously important. Now, and today is really about conflict in marriage, okay? Because there's conflict all over the place you could talk about. We're talking about conflict in marriage because I believe if you have conflict in your marriage, okay, now this is a personal opinion, this isn't a theological statement, but if you have conflict in your marriage, it should rise to the top of what needs to be dealt with. You don't want to have tension in your marriage, especially if you have kids, especially if all these things, because it affects all of that. So this is why we're leaning into marriage. Now, did you know there's five common things that marriages fight over? Anybody want to guess what they are? Money. What else? I think I heard sex or six. I don't know. Sex, yes. Parenting. Work. And the best one, housework. That's right. Those are the top five. Now, those are the official research top five. I'm going to add number six, and that's pet peeve. I think that's number six of most reasons why I fight. Now, I'm married to an amazing woman. Her name's Sarah. She's sitting right over there. She's absolutely perfect. It's just odd that I'm having this conversation with you because we don't fight. No, that's a total lie. But what I noticed about Sarah, she's so sweet. She's so kind. If you know her, you'll be like, I don't think she gets mad at anyone. And you would be right, unless you eat around her and you chew louder than what she would describe as normal, particularly ice. I see some people in there already in agreement. I mean, my poor kids, they sit down. They're just little sweet little 7 and 4-year-olds. They're just eating their little cereal. And Sarah's like, get away from me. Who is this person? Like, they're kids, they're just trying to eat. And then I do it, I'm like, what, you want us to starve? This is crazy. So I think pet peeves is one of them. You're welcome, babe. Just want to make sure I worked you in there since it's a marriage talk. But she is amazing. She really doesn't get mad, but that's one of them. So test at your own will. Now, the other thing that's really important for me to say as the communicator today is that conflict is really not my strength. And it's not my strength, not because I have a lack or an unwillingness to be in conflict. It is the opposite of that. Because I am not afraid to be in conflict. I'm not afraid to have a fight. I'm not afraid to say something that might be tough or hard, which also often ends up being harsh. I don't have a problem with that. In fact, by the way, whenever someone gets up and communicates, particularly on something like this, the Lord in his goodness and his grace decides to make their week all about that. So sometimes the speaker will get up, like, oh, I have a great story. Oh, the Lord gave me this illustration that I could share today. I just want to tell you, my week's been filled with conflict, and it's been really annoying, and I would prefer anyone else but me to have to give this message. But I'm here, so we're going to deal with this. But the reality is I'm really not good at conflict because I'm not afraid to say the truth, regardless if it hurts. And that's where I get in trouble. And my tension is not a desire to be mean. My tension that I have is just to bring truth, but I don't do it well. Here's the reality. Listen to this carefully. Think about this. Truth without grace is mean. But grace without truth is meaningless. And so this is the tension that I have, because internally I'm like, I know I need to say this, but I don't want to take time to say it nicely. I just want to say it. And so my life verse, you ready for this? You ever heard of a life verse? Anybody, maybe you're new to church, know what that is? A life verse is where you have a verse of scripture that you feel like is really important to you. Most people pick a life verse that they can easily fulfill, and I think that's unsatisfactory. The best life verses are the ones you're aiming for, so you have something to shoot for. So here's my wannabe life verse. You ready? Let me read it to you. I think it'll be on the screen here. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Now, some of you may go, why is the pastor struggling with all of these things? The reality is it's not the whole verse, but particularly harsh words, particularly allowing anger to rise up and to drive my conversations. That's where I get in trouble. If you remember a few weeks ago, Patrick was speaking on different communication skills. Y'all remember this? A couple weeks ago, and one of them was the blaster. That's why I get in trouble, because I'm the blaster. So Patrick and I, we're the same, and then we get in a meeting, we just blast. No, I'm just kidding, that didn't happen. But that's my struggle. Now, what I want to do today with you, and I hope this is going to be helpful. If not, don't tell me afterwards, okay? But what I'm hoping to do is we're going to take the analogy of boxing, and we're going to mix it in to give us some guidance on how to fight fair in marriage. Because fighting in marriage is not a bad thing. It's normal. But if we don't have guidelines and boundaries and some tips and some tools to navigate this, it can become pretty rough. And so we're going to use boxing as our guide. That sound fascinating? You excited? You pumped? Ready? Okay, great. I didn't give you a chance to respond. Now, here's the first thing I want to say. In a fight, the goal of a fight is to win. The goal of a fight is to destroy your opponent. This is the goal of a boxing fight, right? But a sparring session is designed to develop you. Right? You're training, you're moving forward, you're trying to grow. We need to do less fighting in marriage and more sparring. Less trying to get to a winner and more trying to get to a solution, to develop each other, to navigate. In fact, I would argue, and I think you might agree, when you navigate through a major conflict in your marriage and you come out on the other side having resolved that, don't you feel closer as a couple? You feel like you've grown a little bit because you conquered something together and possibly a moment you weren't sure you were going to make it through. And then all of a sudden you've navigated that, you look back and you feel closer together, right? And then you make up and, okay, another topic for another day. So let's look at this. In conflict, taking our boxing analogy, what we first want to focus on is in every boxing match, there are rules. There are rules. In fact, up until the 1800s, boxing existed without rules and men literally died. So this guy, Marcus de Queensberry, stepped in and said, hey, let's put some rules here to help people become a winner and not just die. In marriage, in our fighting, it's the same concept. But we're not looking for a winner. We're looking for a solution. And so we put rules in place to help us navigate through this. Now, I want to pause for a moment, and I want to tell you this. For the next few minutes, we're going to get very practical. Okay, I'm just going to throw some things out for you to consider. I don't expect that all the things I say will just hit home with you. Get that. But I'm hoping that maybe one or two of these might jump out at you, and you go, okay. That's something I could think about. That's something that I could work on. What I don't want you to do is be waiting for the one you're hoping I say and then look at your spouse and be like, that's what I've been talking about. All right, don't do that because today's not about them. It's about you and it's about me because we all have things we can work on. So for the next few minutes, we'll be real practical and then I want to bring it home again at the end and I want to show you particularly how the Lord's going to give us the strength and the wisdom and the power to do this. Okay, so let's start with a couple of rules. Here's number one. Describe your feelings, don't become them. This is something we need to practice. Describe your feelings, don't become them. So what this might look like is some of us might walk into our spouse and say, hey, I am feeling hurt right now because of the way you spoke to me earlier or the other day, or maybe even in this moment. I'm feeling a little lonely right now. Because I miss you. You've been gone a lot. We haven't been able to connect. Maybe you've been in the same home, but there hasn't been much conversation. There hasn't been that kind of emotional intimacy. And so I feel a little distant. Or maybe I'm feeling sad. I feel like things aren't going well and I want to resolve that. This is what a healthy moment might look like. But the flip of this, when we become that emotion rather than laying it out so we can resolve it, it sounds like this. You always talk to me like that. You never tell me that you love me. You're never home. I can't stay. You can see how this goes. What's happened is we've taken our feelings and now we're lashing them out. And the truth is, okay, in an argument set up like that, someone's going to lose eventually. But none of us got married desiring to be married to a loser. Right? I mean, you didn't stand at the altar and go, he's a loser. This is going to be good. Can't wait. No. So what we want to do in our fighting is we don't want to create a winner and a loser. Because you don't want to be married to a loser, and I know you don't want to be the loser. So instead of launching our emotions out, rather we lay them out and say, hey, here's what I'm feeling. Can we talk about this? Can we navigate this? Because I'm really upset about this. Let's talk about it so we can resolve it. We want to be sure that we don't become our feelings, but rather we help to describe them. Here's a second thought. Again, these are just things for us to think about. Listen actively, not passively. Listen actively, not passively. Active listening versus passive listening. Passive listening could be described as hearing. I hear what you're saying. I know you're talking. I know there's a bunch of words floating around. And I'm here. But internally, nothing's happening. You have a wall up. You're just like, yeah, that's great. No, that dinner's going to be good in about a few minutes. As soon as he gets this all out, we're going to be good. That's called hearing. Listening is active. Listening takes effort. It takes endurance, which in our culture is a shortcoming right now. I mean, it's a shortcoming. We have so many things pulling on us. If you've been married for a long time, maybe you have kids. You have maybe two careers going on. There's so many things that are jockeying for our time and our attention. And then our spouse is kind of unloading. We're just like, I can't. Active listening is leaning in. It's listening carefully to what they're saying, looking for opportunities for you to help bring a solution to the table. Passive hearing is you just going, and waiting for your moment to say what you want to say. And all that does is spin us in circles. So we want to be careful that we listen actively and not just passively. Third thing we want to pass the dice. You ever played a game where it's your turn the whole time? If you're an only child, possibly. But everybody else, no, right? In every game, you pass the dice. The transition goes from the next person to the next person. Everybody takes a turn. And in marriage, if we're in conflict and we're in a fight, it's possible that your comment that then turned into a speech, that then turned into a lecture, that's now turned into a filibuster, is a real problem. Because your spouse has something to say too. And so being sure that we get this idea around that we're going to pass the dice, we have to share. We both have to be able to speak. We both have to be able to communicate. We both have to be able to share what we're thinking. You remember two-way radios? What would you say when you were done with your transmission? You would say over, right? Why? Because you were letting the other person know that you're done, right? Some of you need to bring over back into your vocabulary. Some of you might need to get an item. Right? Someone told me out in the lobby that they have a magnet that they got at a marriage retreat. And so they put the magnet on the table, and whoever has the magnet, that's who gets to speak. And it's real hard for some of us to just be quiet and to listen. And if you're waiting for your chance to speak, you're from the problem before. You are passive right now, and you're not leaning in. So it might be helpful to come up with something that works for you. Just be careful. Don't turn it into another element you fight about. That's not the point. Helpful tools, but we got to pass the dice. We got to be able to share so that everyone gets fair. So here's some rules, right, that we can look at. Now I want to bring another illustration into the table. As we think about a boxing match, another thing that happens is we have an item that's used. These are called boxing gloves. I'm not a big boxer, if I'm honest, but these are great. Now, these gloves do something in a fight. They do a couple things I learned, apparently, after the first service. Apparently, I don't know boxing very well. Someone reminded me that if the gloves are not really big, they don't actually protect your opponent. They're just to protect your hands. So MMA fighters that are real small. But if they're big gloves, the goal is to not only protect your hands, but also to protect your opponent as well, right? The goal of the fight is to get to a win, but not to kill each other, okay? I know it may be deceiving sometimes when you watch fighting sports. Totally get that. But the same goes for our marriage. So we put gloves on. And one of the ways we can put gloves on in our marriage to keep our fighting from just killing and hurting and harming each other is by using our words carefully. I think the gloves in a fight in marriage can be symbolic of our words. Because you can either put the gloves on and use words that are helpful and lead to resolution and move you forward, or you can take the gloves off, step outside, and you can throw down, right? And you have no worry about who gets hurt or what happens. You just want to let it out. And I think this is one of the areas we really get in trouble in marriage, particularly in our fighting. So here's a couple thoughts when it comes to word. Number one, it's been said that words can be the deadliest blunt force object in the world. And believe it or not, Proverbs agree. Scripture says, 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So here's something for us to think about. Number one, maybe this is you. You might need to be of few words. You might need to talk less. I need to talk less. Sarah? Thank you. She was quiet. I need to talk less. Because I just get going and, can you tell I'm up here? And here's what happens sometimes. Sometimes, guys like me, we try to talk our way to the solution, and eventually we get there, but along the way we inserted a bunch of other things that were even more hurtful because we didn't really have a plan or we used too many words. Sometimes we need to be a few words. Proverbs 10:19 says this, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable, but he or she who restrains his or her lips is wise. So this is not saying don't speak, because you're not going to get many resolutions, but rather it's to think before we speak, is to be a few words and to make sure they're tender. Number two, speak to heal, not to wound. Speak to heal, not to wound. We know someone in your life, I guarantee it, has harmed you tremendously because of words they said to you or maybe even about you. And words are like a knife, right? A knife can be used to cut someone to cause a wound, or a knife in the hand of a surgeon can be used to heal. And this is how we want to operate in our marriage and in our fighting. We use our words not to wound, but to heal. I want my words to help us navigate to a solution, not cut my spouse down, make her hurt, make her want to cry, make her want to give up and run away because I didn't take time to think about what I'm saying. This is the idea of putting the gloves on, taking care of our words. And another one, this is kind of a bonus, but it's for me because I talk fast and a lot. Some of us need to say it again. We need to just say it again. Sometimes we say something either so fast or maybe so obscurely, we can't quite get it out. Maybe you're that secret code master description of the communicator and you don't really say it very well. You might need to step back and repeat what you said, but don't do it like a child where you're like, oh, I'm just going to repeat because she never listens to me. But rather say, you know what? I'm going to say this in a different way because I want to make sure you understand what I was trying to say. So when it comes to our words, the idea of putting on these gloves so that we can navigate through this fight but not beat each other up, we might think about being a few words, speaking to heal, not to wound, and to say it again. Now, the next piece of a boxing match is the ring. So for us, that's going to be the environment. The environment in which your fight takes place. Now, be careful. I might step on your toes here. You're welcome. All right? Here's number one. Try not. I don't want to tell you what to do. I just want to lay it out there for you. Try not to ambush your spouse. Maybe you've been waiting at home all day for them to get home from work, and man, you've been thinking of everything you're going to say, exactly what you're going to point out, how you're going to say it, how you're going to prove them wrong, how they just didn't. And you're just ready, and they walk in the door, and like, how are you doing? A great day? Okay, boom. And man, that's tough, right? That's tough. You may, in a similar way, try to have a tough conversation with your spouse, and maybe the kids are running around. Maybe there's just a lot of stuff happening in the house. There's so many distractions, and you try to drop a bomb on it. Man, that's tough. We got to give each other a little bit of space, a little bit of time, because again, we're not trying to get a winner. We're trying to get a resolution, and so we want to create the best environment, and so ambushing each other when we never saw it coming, or maybe they just finished a big work project or a big thing, and they get in the car, they get home, and you're just like, boom. Give them a little bit of space so you have the best chance to navigate the solution. The other thing is, and I want you to be careful with this, try not to fight in front of your kids. Try not to fight in front of your kids. Now, there's two sides of this, okay? So let me try to paint the picture here because there's balance. When I say try not to fight in front of your kids, I'm talking about those knockdown, drag outs, where maybe even some words got used that you didn't really want your kids to hear, but in that moment you weren't even thinking about it. Those kind of knockdown, drag out fights we have got to spare our children from. Because research tells us that even one fight can be imprinted on their memory for the rest of their life. So we want to be careful. Now, here's the kicker. If your kids never see you deal with conflict, they're going to grow up and be really confused when they get married one day. Because they're going to get married and go, in my house, no one ever fought. What is wrong with this animal? He is just mean, or she is just brutal. What has happened? So it's not very loving. Listen, it's not loving to spare your children from seeing conflict. But what they need to see is loving parents trying to navigate conflict together rather than enemies trying to rip each other apart. And those are the things we want to be cautious of. We do well to teach our children the realities of life. Some homes have a lot of fighting. Some homes have zero fighting. But our kids need to see both. But when you fight, let it be good fights. There's been a few moments that Sarah and I have been driving, and a discussion turns into a discussion that then maybe is more of a disagreement. And there's been a few moments where my daughter Kyla is in the back, and she'll just go, are y'all fighting right now? And like the first thought is, oh no. Like, but that's a perfect moment. Because we want her to be confused in that moment. I don't want her to go, oh my gosh, obviously they're fighting. Dad is just being a terrible jerk to mom. I want her to go, wait, are y'all dealing with conflict right now? Because it's teaching her this is life. And conflict and fighting is normal. But how we treat each other. Man, when the rules go out the door, it becomes a dirty fight. It becomes nasty and brutal and harsh. And no progress can be made. We do not want our kids to see that. So try not to fight in front of your kids. The other thing is to try not to fight in public. And this is just a bonus for you. Here's why. It's awkward. I mean, it's just awkward. It's awkward. Can I say that again? It's awkward. And when you do that, here's what happens. Because we're human, people start talking about you. Oh, that couple, they don't want to fight all the time. It's crazy. It's actually entertaining. Grab the popcorn, but it's just really weird. And so they'll start to gossip about you, and that's not right, but it's just the nature of who we are. So my recommendation is just don't fight in public. Save it for the right setting and the right time, and that'll be helpful, I hope, for you. By the way, I've never seen a couple get in a fight in public in front of everyone and then resolve it. It just seems like it just lingers on and on. So. It's just a bonus, all right? That's just trying to help you out here. Okay, let's look at the last couple pieces. Next piece of a boxing match is there are rounds. There are rounds. So there's time limits. You go round two, round three, round four, up to a certain number. I don't know because I don't follow boxing. But there are time limits. And I want to tell you something I found just in doing some research for this is the average person can handle about 20 minutes of really deep, really intense disagreement and discussion. And after about 20 minutes, we start to kind of glaze over. We stop giving it the same attention, the same awareness. And typically, if we keep going, it just builds and builds and builds. So the better strategy might be, hey, maybe you say to your spouse, I'm feeling something that's really hurting me. I don't think we're going to agree. So can we talk for about 20 minutes? Maybe we'll circle back a little later and reevaluate this. Rather than, hey, we're going to sit here until this is done. And 3 hours later, all you do is you hate each other. And you can't find a resolution because that 20-minute window is over. Now, can some of you go longer than 20? Possibly. But research tells us typically about 20 minutes is all we can handle. So don't try to push the boundaries. But the flip side of that, don't not fight. Because that's not healthy either. Bottling it all up, because eventually you will fight. And then it'll become a nasty explosion out in the street with no gloves and blood flying everywhere. Hopefully not literally, but blood everywhere, right? Because you held it in. So we've got to find this balance, and we've got to remember that timing is important. Now, I want to show you a couple quick things. There is some value in silence and space. So while we don't want to just go at it all the time for an hour or more, there is some value, particularly in silence. So let me just show you these really quick, just things for you to think about. Benefits of silence. Number one, it makes room for listening. It's hard to listen when you're talking, right? Some of us need, I know, don't hit your spouse. I know some of you are really tempted right there. It makes room for listening. It also gives us freedom to observe. Right, when there's silence, we have a chance to pull back. It's really easy when you're looking at something just right in front of your face, whatever that conflict is, it's really easy to just be locked in on that and have a hard time kind of looking at the big picture. But when we give some silence and some space, it gives us a chance to observe. It also provides space to think. I would add space to think before you speak, to get those words down to a minimum so that you can be direct, but you can do it loving and to be gentle. It provides space for you to feel. Sometimes we're thinking all these things, but really coming from something that we're feeling gives us a chance to process. It allows us to broaden our awareness. We may need to see some things differently. We may need some help seeing things differently. Space and silence gives us a chance for that. And finally, it opens the entree of peace. And so the idea here, guys, is we're navigating these fights, and we're not telling you exactly how to fight. We're not telling you what resolution should be done. What we're saying is you got to be careful. Because we want the marriage relationship to be a benefit to you and to the people that you are impacting and touching in your life. We want the marriage to last. And here's the deal. Sometimes we need, another boxing analogy, a referee. Sometimes we need a referee. The idea of a referee in any sport or any event is not to be biased to one side or the other. The idea of the referee is just to keep it fair. And there are some of us here that we might be in a place in our marriage where we have to have someone come in and help us navigate something that's very serious. And that referee would look like a counselor, a pastor, possibly a very, very trusted and wise mentor, but someone that could sit down with both of you, or maybe just with you, and to help you see with a different perspective. That's a great thing. But here's what we want to be careful of. The other part of the analogy is your corner. Every fighter has a corner, a trainer and a coach and friends and family. In your corner are the people that love you, that are walking with you, doing life with you, encouraging you. But sometimes the people in your corner don't make great referees. The people that love you and are close with you, even when they try, they can't help but be on your side. And they see things the way you say them, and they see things the way you see them, and sometimes they might miss the big picture. And so your corner is very important to you, but sometimes a referee is needed. And I want to tell you, around here, we are not ashamed, afraid of counseling in any way, shape, or form. We think it's wonderful. And if you're not sure if you need it, you probably should check it out. Because it is that important. Because sometimes, man, we just miss it. I know I do. I just miss it. And I need help from someone that sees a bigger picture than just what I'm feeling to help me, God. And I just want to encourage you, especially if you feel like your marriage is on the rocks. Guys, get in there and get some help because there is help out there. Last thing. Philippians 2, 1 through 3 says this. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. As you're navigating life, and I know for me, before I got into a relationship with Jesus Christ, my life looked a lot different. I was angry a lot. I fought a lot. In fact, every relationship I was in before Sarah was hostile, dramatic. Big fights, big gaps, days in between, mad at each other, hating each other, saying terrible things. And then I met Sarah, and it was the total opposite. In fact, what she brought to the table, she was so kind and so calm and so patient when we would fight that I realized if I keep this up, I'm going to become an abuser because she's just letting me walk all over. Now, the reality is she wasn't. Later on, she'd come back and she would share with me truth that I needed to hear, but she never did it in a way that caused that fight to keep going. And I realized very quickly that something has to change. Well, here's the good news. That change was already starting. Because my relationship with Christ was starting to expose areas in my life. And Sarah has never to this day, however long we've been married, 10, 11, 12, 13 years, something like that, no matter how long we've been married, she never sits down and goes, you need to change that. Sarah trusts that God is going to do that in my life. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you and challenge you. In your life, if you don't have a relationship with God, you will not have something that drives you to do something that's counterculture. It's hard. It's hard to change. But when God comes in our life, he does that. And it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I think about it. If Sarah and I had gotten married 5-7 years prior to when we did, I don't know if we would have made it. Not because of her, but because of me. Because I had so much more growth and maturity to do. And here's the deal. When you and I are not in relationship with God, and I know there may be some people here just kind of checking out church or checking out God, and we're so glad you're here. I want you to hear this. When you are not in relationship with God, right with God, you either have peace or you're at war. And so when you're with God and you're in a relationship with him, you find peace. That's the peace of Jesus Christ. But when you're not with him, you have war. But here's what I want to say to you. If you don't have peace with God, it's going to be really hard to have peace with man. Because what drives that peace comes from the love of God. And the love of God makes, look at these verses that we use, and there's so many more we could look at. 1 Corinthians 13, we talk about love and how God desires for us to become this person, but the reality is we can't do it on our own. God can. And so, ladies, husbands, if you're waiting for your spouse to change or you think you can do it, you can't. But God can. And if you're in a situation where you're like, man, this is just who I am. I'm just this way. That's just the way it is. I'm telling you, no, God can change you. Will your personality always be there? Will we struggle being a blaster for those of us that are that way? Of course we will. But it'll look radically different. And I'll tell you this, what's going to make your marriage work, and if you're engaged or maybe single right now, listen, this is so important. What's going to make your marriage work is love. But love is not a feeling. It's a choice. It's a decision. Some of you, maybe if you're in here single and you want to get married one day, you're like, I cannot wait. I'm going to wake up and I'm going to roll over and I'm going to see his beautiful face or her beautiful face and I'm just going to be in love every single day and it's going to be amazing. If you've been married for a little while, you want to answer that? Why? Because when we base our love on feelings and emotions, you're going to love your spouse one day and you're going to hate them the next day. So love is not how we feel, it's what we do. And here's the thing, the ability for you to be able to love your spouse will come from you receiving Jesus Christ and him bringing that kind of love into your life. And the amazing thing about God, God does not have love, God is love. So God's love doesn't come in and out, it's always there. And that's what you and I need if we're gonna make this thing work. Your marriage, listen, you ready for this? Is jacked up from the floor up because you are. And so am I. We are messed up people, but God loves us, man. And he wants to get in there and he wants to guide us and he wants to walk with us and challenge us. And I hope, I'm telling you, I hope that when you have your next fight with your spouse, maybe even today so we can test it and tell me how it goes. When you have your next fight, I hope you go, you know what? This isn't about me anymore. I'm not here to win. I want to get to a solution. I want us to grow from this. No matter how big it is, and trust me, I know there are some tough things going on in this room right now in these marriages. I know. If we can aim for the solution, not to be the winner, we got a chance. And there is a God that loves us and wants to see that happen. And so I'm praying today. If you have not started a relationship with Christ, I pray you do that today because that is going to be this thing. If you're single, oh my goodness, let's get this right because this is going to save you a lot of pain down the road. And if your marriage is on the rocks, I just want to tell you, listen, listen, please, even if it's just one of you, it is not too late. But you must choose. You must choose, but it is not too late. And I'm telling you, God will give you the love and the strength and the wisdom you need if you will allow him. And that's our prayer today.